Well, good morning, church. Man, it feels good to say that. You guys don't know how weird it is to stand here and talk to the little dot on a camera. And then, although my jokes are funnier, because I don't have to wait on y'all to laugh. Welcome. If you're watching online, welcome. We love you guys. It's just awesome to have you here in person. We can't wait. We can all gather, and it's coming. If you notice in here, we did spread things out a little bit, and we're trying to be responsible. But for those of you who are new, if you're visiting, if you find anybody that has a name tag on that says, I'm here to help, they can help you out if you need any direction and find your way around. But it's just an honor to have you here. It's awesome that we could do online, but it's just not the same. There's just something about gathering together. The Bible talks over and over about the power in God's people when they come together, but it's just not the same. Before we get started, I want to say a few quick thank yous. To some people, because there's a lot of work that went in for 12 weeks of online doing full services. So to all the dream team and the tech team and the worship team who came in and recorded, and we had several long nights where we had computer errors and stuff going on, and we had to sing the same song 10 times. So thank you to you guys. But I want to give one special welcome, and he's hiding back here. You can't see him. He's behind the silver computer back there that says the Apple. I want to give a quick special thank you to Andrew Amison. Without his computer knowledge and his and just giving, serving heart, man, we couldn't have done the online. We walked through several problems, several issues each week, and we got better. Hopefully you noticed it. Each week we got better. Producing that is not easy. Getting us online right now on Facebook and on YouTube and all the different platforms, it's like way over my head. So he was gracious to come down here. He was my lone audience most of the time when we recorded the sermon. He doesn't amen very well, though. But without him, yeah, thank you. It's a little late now, buddy. So a special thank you to him and the rest of the dream team who made it work. And, you know, without you guys, we couldn't do it. And it was a lot of work. But God's worth it, and God's people are worth it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I had a sermon. Actually, I almost forgot it. We missed graduates. We've done it last week or week before. So real quick, we've got something for you. If I call your name, I want you to head up here. Miss Melanie's got something for you here. We have our high school graduates. Mr. Cody Jackson. Yeah. Miss Brooklyn Siebert. I saw her here somewhere. She's over there. Come right down here front. Reagan McClune. Is Reagan here? Reagan's not here today. Is Rihanna here? Glisten. A special note for Rihanna. You leave for Camp Win. Tuesday, she heads to the National Guard to serve our country. So, hey, where y'all going? Hey, come back. Hey, come back. Right here. Lainey, is Lainey here, Jimmy? No. We get Lainey's to her. And then Jancy. Where's Jancy? Yeah, we included you. Come on. Jancy graduated. And then we have some college graduates. First graduating college with her associate's degree in accounting, Miss Monica Nunez. And then lastly, graduating with his master's in higher education administration is Mr. Chris Bolton. Did I miss anybody? Did anybody else finish? Anybody else, high school or college degree, advanced degree, anybody finish that we missed? All right, well, why don't you stretch your hands out? We're going to bless these guys before they leave. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for every individual that stands before me. Father, I thank you that whatever their next step is, it's guided by you. Give them wisdom, Father God. Give them favor. Give them protection in everything they do. We thank you for watching over them, Father. Give them blessing beyond measure. And we thank you for it, Father. Father, we pray a special blessing for Miss Rihanna here. We bless her as she goes to serve our country, to serve us. Father, I thank you that your angels go special before her and after her. We thank you, Father God, that you bless her life as she serves us by going to serve our country. And we thank you for all of these guys. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Now you can go. All right, I had something planned. We were going to start the Red Letter series this week. As we had decided, this was going to be our Sunday to come back. And I don't know if you noticed in the world, but things got crazy. And so sometimes as a pastor, part of the job, honestly, I don't like is talking about, having to talk about the elephant in the room. I think sometimes pastors don't do people justice. And if you're visiting this morning and you have another home church, just for today, just let me speak to you as a pastor. Because sometimes if we don't speak truth and we don't speak life, we're not doing you any favor. It's the same thing in telling your kids. Your kids can save a lot of trouble. I know as a child, I could have saved myself a lot of hassle if I would have just done what? Listen, don't stick that knife in the outlet. What's going to happen? It's going to hurt. Well, I want to see anyway. Yes, and I did it. I wanted to prove it. Sometimes speaking truth can save you some hurt and save us some things in life. And I wanted to take time today to talk about what I think is appropriate and why the church, you've heard me say this, we said this all during online, why the church is so important. Not believers' church, but church with a capital C. Especially at this point in time. Now this past week, and can I just be transparent this week? I mean today? Y'all want me to just lie to you? Nobody answered? Really? You don't want me to be honest, right? Okay, this is yes, this is no. Man, y'all need, we got coffee, will come back in July, I promise, because y'all need it. I didn't post much on social media this week. And I didn't for a reason. I think on social media sometimes it's very easy just to go and type stuff. And it's not a judgment on my side of good or bad. But I think it's easy just to say something and I've said what I needed to say and then we move on. Well, no, you really didn't. You just threw it out there in the hopes that somebody would see it, hoping that somebody would like it, share it, approve of your message. You know, the Bible has a verse in James. It'll be on the screen behind me. In James chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, understand this, brothers, sisters. Do this one thing first. Be quick to listen. Our society is not quick to listen. We are quick to just start running our mouths, right? Okay, y'all can shout me down if I'm wrong. Okay, you let me have it. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. But I want you to know that it doesn't say don't get angry. There is a such thing as a righteous anger, or being angry for a good reason. The Bible does say don't let the sun go down on anger, and that's another whole message. But I purposely didn't post about the tragedy of George Floyd's death because I felt like I had a check in my heart of, Clint, you just need to sit, watch, and listen. His death was tragic, inhumane. I don't think it's any secret to, especially in our community, that I've worked with our local law enforcement for almost 16 years now. And I can say from that side, I don't know any that didn't look at what happened last week to that man and go, yeah, that's the way I would have done it, or it's okay. And I've said this to our guys, and if it is okay, then you need to find a new job. Now, I can talk both sides. I've been on both sides. I've watched both sides. Sometimes things aren't what they appear. Sometimes, in this case, they are exactly what they appear to be. Wrong. Inhumane. I just felt like, for me, it was time to listen. Be quick to listen. But seeing that video over and over, like we all did, it did, in fact, make me angry. It's just not how you treat people. The worst of people shouldn't be treated that way. Now, I'm not diving into politics this morning. I'm going to talk to you as a Christian, as a father, as a pastor, and I'm going to talk to you from what the Bible says. Is that okay? Yes. It was unnecessary, inhumane. And it's okay to be angry. So let me be clear from the top. Racism is evil. White supremacy is evil. Any supremacy, matter of fact, you can take it from whatever race you may be or think of. Any supremacy outside the supremacy of Christ is wrong. The Bible goes so far as to say is it's putting anything before God as an idol, and that idol is sin. The supremacy of Christ is the only supremacy in this world that is okay. Hating someone because of the color of their skin is not okay. We get aggravated with people by personality, by their actions. But being aggravated or angry because they're different than you. And let me say, this goes in every direction. It's not okay to make that judgment based on skin. See, the thing is that skin is not the problem. Color is not the problem. Sin is the problem. Really going further, heart is the problem. That's the issue. That's the issue that has to be fixed. Sin is a heart issue. And the Bible is not vague. Again, sorry to lay a heavy one on you today if you're visiting with us or online, but it couldn't be pushed. I'm going to do this today. Come back next week. I'll tell some stupid jokes. You'll laugh. We'll learn about Jesus and have a good time, but we're going to learn something today. Amen? Look what the Bible says about your hearts. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, above all else, guard what? Above all else. Why? Why does it say that? Look at the next part of the verse. For everything you do, what? Comes from here. The Bible says in the New Testament, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. This is why when you get angry, this is why I believe the Bible says get slow to be angry. Because when you get angry, what happens? It just starts coming out. The heart, and this is true with me. I have to watch myself because I'll find things about myself I don't like, and I find it when I'm angry, when I find it when I'm upset. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, but the Lord said to Samuel, Samuel's now going to choose what's going to be the first king, and he ultimately chooses David, but they bring out one of David's other brothers, and look what it says to him. Don't consider his appearance or his height. God says, I've actually rejected him. Then look what it says in the next part of the verse. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. You see, God's not looking the way we think he's looking. I heard somebody say the other day, once we all get to heaven, it'll be fine. There's a reason we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, let it be on earth as it were. See, no, that's what it's supposed to look like now. It just doesn't work. And it doesn't work, I'm gonna shoot straight. Not because white people are evil, not because black people are evil or racist, but because people in general have bad hearts. Hearts gotta be fixed. Now, are there white people who are racist? Yes. Are there black people who are racist? Yes. Are there every color people who are racist against other people? Yes. The common thing is this. Look what the Bible says here. It says, but the Lord looks at the heart. Why? Because out of the heart comes everything. Out of the heart comes our issues when we're squeezed. I want to say this too, and I've got notes, but I'm kind of talking from my heart today. It's okay to ask questions. I feel like sometimes we can't talk about the elephant in the room because we're afraid of what the other person's going to jump to the race card. We can just ask a question. In leadership here at this church, on our trustees, there are two black gentlemen that I highly respect. Matter of fact, my kids refer to one of them as grandpa. We have three grandpas. We have granddaddy, grampy, and Papa Ken. And my girls consider them grandparents. And they treat my girls like grandparents. But with them, I have the relationship. And I think it should be this way in general. We should be able to ask questions and go, help me understand this. I can't see the sheet of paper from your side. On my side, it looks this way. On your side, it looks this way. You got to help me see this. That's the quick to listen. But look what this happens in the Bible. In John chapter 4, Jesus is at the well with the Samaritan woman. And the Jews had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They considered them second class. They didn't have anything to do with them. Here, Jesus not only was not supposed to be alone, but he was not even supposed to talk to her. And look, in John chapter 4, verse 20, she says, "Tell me something. Why is it? You say it's this way. We say it's this way." If you go on down in verse 23, the Bible brings it to a point and say, listen, the truth of the matter is it's not going to matter whether you say it's this way or you say it's this way. God's going to ask you what's in your heart, and you need to worship in spirit and truth. This is what it's supposed to look like. You see, worshiping in the spirit and truth is worshiping from a whole heart, a healed heart. Because whether you like it or not, we've all got wounds. We all brought sin with us. We've all messed up. Thank God he doesn't define our future by the sins that come from our heart, that he redeems us, the Bible says. Spirit and truth. Let me say this, and I'm jumping, and I know. I want to get it in. Even good groups, and by good groups, we'll say Red Cross, United Way. I'll even throw for us Project 216. Even good groups that do good work and do a lot of good can't fix hearts. We do Project 216 in the school system and all that it does as a way to prepare hearts. So when Jesus, the seed of Jesus is sprinkled over their lives, their lives are ready to receive it because they know that there's a God who loves them. But Project 216 is just feeding people unless it leads people to Christ, unless it leads people to changed hearts. So their hearts are different. So that child knows that Jesus has set them free. I'll go even further. Government can't change hearts. If it could, then once they passed the law, it would no longer be an issue. They would say, we're going to pass a law. It's wrong to murder somebody. Then murders would just stop. Hearts would just change and everybody, oh, wait, I want to do that, but I can't. If laws were good, let's be honest. I'm transparent. Y'all are going to be transparent. How many of you on the way to this service this morning drove faster than the posted speed limit? Some of y'all live way out in the country. I know you didn't go. And I'll pass some of y'all intersections, and it's 55, and y'all. See, laws don't change hearts. They influence our minds. But it doesn't mean you have to obey it. So the government can't change hearts. If it did, it would stop. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there is one group that can change it. One group that can change hearts. And we're sitting in it. You're watching it at home. The church, capital C. Why? Because we're the only people and the only group that there is that can lead people to the one, that can connect people to the one who can change their heart, who can heal their hearts. People who are there, and there are people of all across the spectrum who fall into the racism view. Maybe some in the closet, they don't really say much, but they think it. Then there's others who they're loud, proud, and telling people what they think. The bottom line is both those people, they got to be connected with, their heart needs to be connected to the one that can heal their hearts, whatever the issue is, however deep the issue is. The church is the answer. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:4 that there is one body, one spirit, and just as you were called to what? One hope. This morning I'll probably refer to him a couple times, but I listened to a man I respect a lot, and I've met him in person once, and I went and watched him. If you've ever heard him, his name is Tony Evans, pastors a large church in Dallas. His daughter is Priscilla Schreier. A lot of you ladies may know her. And he said this, and when he said it, I thought, oh, it's that time where God just tells you, you need to talk about this. And I'm like, no, God, I don't want to. That's okay. You know, you can speak to all the people, you tell them, and I'll just avoid it. But I want to tackle something head on. And I'm going to tell you, it may be a big deal in Scranton County. I've been here 20 years. I consider myself local, homegrown now. My girls were born here. But I get asked this question a lot, and I've never tackled it. So we're going to face it head on today. was asked this question last week, and the manner in which it was asked, the person that asked, was not trying to be nice. And the question is, Believers Church, are you a black church or a white church? And then they just stared at me. I felt like, please don't get sacrilegious on me. I'm not being sacrilegious. I felt like Jesus when the Pharisees were trying to trip him up, because I felt like, well, if I say this, this group's going to get mad. Say this, this group's going to get mad. And my actual thought was, I hope nobody's recording this conversation, because I really need to pray this through how I answer. And I struggled with it because I didn't want to upset anybody. So let me answer this. My answer it was that day, I think God just kind of dropped this, and it's always been my answer. I didn't know what to say. I was caught off guard. My answer is that we're not a white church. We're not a black church. We are the church with a capital C. And what defines us is the one who created my skin, not the color he chose to make my skin. Does that make sense? We're defined by my creator, the one who, the Bible says in the Old Testament, took a pen and wrote the book of my life before I ever took a breath. And in that book, in the beginning, in Clint Williams' book, it says he's going to be born November 8th, 1974, in Johnson City, Tennessee. He and his mom are almost going to die that night, but I'm going to bring them back and take care of them. This is going to be a short little pudgy white boy who can actually run pretty fast for being a short little pudgy white boy. He's going to be a decent athlete, and he's going to go on to marry Melanie Cooch. He's going to have Emma. He's going to have Mabel. He's going to be a pastor in Sylvania. God defined me and gave me my skin just like God defined me and gave Eric his skin. For those of you who can't see, Eric's a black man. And see, we don't even like saying that. I can feel a lot of us, especially of white folks, we get tense. Because I'll joke, where's Gary? Gary's out there. Gary is one of our other trustees. And I'll joke with him. I've been around him. We've traveled together. We've known each other long enough. We can poke at each other. And a lot of times in the room, I'll point out the fact. I've even done it in here. Let me just tell you, hey, I'm white. He's black. And you can almost feel the room go, See, I don't define him by his blackness no more than he defines me by his whiteness. Now, he makes fun of me because we pick at each other. But the fact of the matter is God wrote the story of Gary and said, this is going to be a little black boy. This is going to be for any other child. He's going to be in between. Brown. Whatever color it may be. God defines me, not the color of my skin that he chose to give me. In the same fashion, God defines his church the same way. Over and over in the Bible, it talks about the church being a bride. It talks about our job. That the church is the group of which the hope of the world is going to come to, and then the hope of the world is going to be spread through the local church. That's why we work so hard here. What defines us is the one who created my skin, not the color he chose to make my skin. Now, I mentioned Tony Evans earlier, and I took this from him because I thought it was brilliant. And please don't judge me by my English grammar skills. I'm going to try to get this right, but this is really good. See, the problem becomes, I think, this is what Tony said, and I agree, that when we describe ourselves, if I said, hey, Ben, describe yourself. And especially when I ask, I get this. I would get things like, well, or if you're describing somebody to me, actually, what it'd be, he's a white Christian. Or if I'm talking about Eric, we would say he's a black Christian. Here's the problem. Is black the problem? No. Is Christian the problem? No. Is a white Christian the problem? No. The problem is that the Christian shouldn't be the noun. Christian shouldn't be the noun, because what's happening is white, the job of the noun is to conform to the adjective. The adjective describes the noun. White is the adjective. It describes it, yeah. And the problem becomes we're taking something that's not supposed to ever change. Christ, Jesus alone, Him crucified, the gospel, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the problem becomes we switch it around and we begin to try to mold our views, our life, our culture, our tradition, and make it fit, make Christianity fit in it. I don't say this because I'm not even getting into the black American, white American. We're talking about God here. I'm a Christian. I'm a servant of Jesus. First, Christianity describes, and I've never said this before, it sounds funny to even say, Christianity describes my whiteness. My whiteness doesn't define my Christianity. The same is true for my black brothers and sisters or whatever race you may be. We try to fit our traditions and squeeze God into it and make God look like we think He should look like. But the fact is, that's just not how it works. The adjective, the job of the adjective is to modify the noun. How do we live? The Bible says, I was created in the image of Christ. We are being made and created to be, or becoming like Him. I'm not becoming any more white. You're not becoming, if you're black, any more black. But we are becoming. Christ is what's molding me as a man. That's the problem. We keep changing. All that goes back to the heart. If we're not careful, though, tradition, and this is true in churches everywhere, when tradition overrides truth, you can have a problem because tradition is not always biblical, but truth, capital T, is. Now, let me say this. There are flavors. Man, time is going fast. Okay. I very much think there are flavors. There are flavors of church. There is our brothers and sisters at First Baptist or First Methodist, or they have it's a traditional flavor. It's a flavor of the church. They do music different than we do, and that's great. I can worship there just like I can worship here. I have friends, good friends of mine, that are in predominantly, and they would say too, they're not a black church, but their worship leader is black. And he can throw down. How many of you know what I mean by that? Okay, all the black brothers and sisters, help us out here. When I say throw down, I mean, we've tried. I've been told our praising before. Scratch it. We're not doing the song that way because we ain't got that kind of rhythm. We just look stupid. My friends and musicians who are black brothers or sisters, they come in here and lay it down and they're just smooth as anything and we just look silly. See, we even get uncomfortable talking about obvious differences. So there are flavors, different flavors of church. And I believe churches are like Baskin Robbins. And here's how God looks at it. That God says, oh, I know what flavor that you're going to work best in, where you're going to fit in, and I'm going to put you in that church family that you're going to grow and thrive. I'm going to let you be, and some of you, who likes the mint chocolate chip? What's wrong with you people? It's nasty. My wife loves it. There are some of you people who are mint chocolate chip. There are some of you who eat that bubble gum, nerds candy. Have you ever, it's awful. See, God has a flavor, and He knows what flavor we like, and He puts us in that. That's okay, but when we let the adjective and the noun get backwards, we find ourselves trying to change God. It's a problem because we're trying to form God into what we think. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, actually skip that in the back. Let's go to Romans 12. It says, for just as each of us, 12, 4, and 5, has one body with many members. These members do not form the same function. So in Christ, though many, we form what? One body. Would you do me a favor and go get that sign? I didn't grab it. Thank you. One body. And each member belongs to the others. See, I think in America, part of the problem that we divided everybody up is because we've allowed the church to become divided. And the church, the Bible says, divided, we don't stand a chance. I fight this cause, and I don't do it from here a lot, but I do it when I'm speaking with people a lot. I think it's more appropriate there. And support other churches. Support my other brothers and sisters. Be it black or white. During the shutdown, I had many conversations with Pastor Jay Aiken at First Christian. I had, we communicated, whether it be him or my brother, Pastor Lonnie Johnson, Pastor Chris Thomas, or there are other pastors. But you need to know that the Bible says that we're one body. And then if you look in Romans 12, 9 and 10, it says this. I'll give you one more scripture, and then or two more, actually, and we'll close today. That love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Be devoted to each other in love. And honor people. You honor them by loving them. During the shutdown, you may or may not, hopefully we tried to get most people, you've seen these signs. I had no idea this was coming. Matter of fact, this wasn't even my idea. One of our dream teamers came up with it, and I said, yeah, let's run with it, and we did it. If we can buy into this, and you can feel comfortable saying this to people that don't look like us, don't act like you, don't act like me, we can change the world. But until that heart changes, here's the truth of the matter. You're not going to change other people's hearts until your heart changes. Until we let God inside. Praise team, you guys can come on back up. We're changing things around just a little bit. We usually do four worship songs. One of the changes that we're going to make is we're going to begin to do that fourth song at the end. So I'm going to ask you, you're going to get out early today. So don't run out. After the song, the guys will be in the back with the buckets. You can do that. So in just a second, they're going to switch the lights around and kind of go back to our worship set. I just want us to have time at the end of a service to let God speak to each of us. And when we just run out, and it's okay, I get it. We got places to be and kids to go get, and I think we missed something. So if you would, just for a second, if you'd bow your head and close your eyes. I know I was kind of all over the place today, but if you take anything away, take this away. The issue that has to be fixed is our hearts. Skin is not the problem, sin is. Hearts need to be changed. The violence we see is because hearts are hurting. People are hurting. Lives are hurting. And the fact of the matter is, hurt people hurt people. Hearts have to be healed. Today, just within the sound of my voice, if you're watching online, if you've not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, to let Him begin to heal your heart, then now's the time. Why not today? It's simply something like this. You simply pray something like this. It say, Jesus, forgive me of the sin in my heart. Heal my heart. Jesus, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. And I'm going to do my best to follow you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that.